Welcome, everyone. Both the folks all in the room, and welcome to the folks online. Hi, I'm Hubert Dixon III. I'm the husband of Sarah and the father of Olivia. And if you're like, who is this guy? I'm generally over in the barn with our youth team, working with our middle schoolers and high schoolers. And a little commercial, if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler, we're taking a break right now during the summer, but you're more than welcome to come and join us over in the barn, and we'll be bringing up the next group of middle schoolers. We're starting to get plans going for that, so we really appreciate it, and we have a good time over there. And as I often say to folks, I learn a lot from our young people. I don't even know why they come every week, but they do, and so I'm happy for that. And I need editing, and unfortunately my wife and my daughter aren't here, and they're the best editors for me, but I do feel a need to share. So our movie for today is Les Miserables, and it's the musical. There's been probably a dozen movies, TV shows, radio teleplays done of this book, which is very large. It's over 1,000 pages. I've yet to complete the reading of the entire book, but I've seen the musical a bunch of times. And some folks may be like already like a musical, oh gosh, you know. But I will share a little story. I had that opinion as a young person, but there was a time in the spring, it would rain. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. There wasn't really any sports on, there wasn't anything to watch, but my mom liked musicals. And she would have it on, and you know, and she'd have us watch it with her, and it was one of the things that we could share together. Over time, I got a little bit of that musical bug. And there was a time back in the 90s when all three of our local PBS stations were trying to raise money, and they kept showing the 10th anniversary version of Les Mis. And every time I was turning channels and I would come to that, I would stop. And I would catch another song, and I'd be humming it the next day. Then I'd catch another song. And then I found out there was a secret Les Mis cult at our work, where there were lots of other people who were doing this as well. They'd hum, I'd hum, we'd do a little dance, and then we'd move on. You know, so those of you, some of you are in the secret Les Mis cult, you know what I'm talking about. So that said, when asked to do God in the Movies, this immediately came to mind, and it particularly came to mind to me. There's a lot of themes in the book Les Miserables, and for the literature or literacy majors, either former, present, and the future, forgive me, I'm not covering but one particular theme, and there's whole storylines. I'm not going to talk about Eponine at all during any of this, but the idea of light is a theme throughout this book, and it's a theme throughout the musical movie as well, even in terms of the use of candles, the timing of lighting, the timing of darkness that takes place, and how the light shines through the darkness. And I think our faith calls us to be God's light. It's not just about the photons that emit from our sun, but it's about us and the different ways that we not only express light to others, but others express light to us. And it's not always in big and dramatic ways. Sometimes it can be as simple as you're in the grocery store, there's a mother, she's carrying a sleeping child on her shoulder as she's trying to purchase her goods. The child awakes and they see you and they smile. That's you being God's light. You didn't do necessarily anything, but you gave happiness and joy and comfort to someone who was a complete stranger, but something that we all share, I think, because God has given light within all of us. And if we take our time and we pause when we can, I think we can do this with greater intentionality than most of us do most days. And I think that this musical is a gift in that way, and particularly when it comes to some of the particular events with the characters throughout this film. And Really, there's a lot of misery in this film. Actually, Les Misérables means the miserable ones in French. So that just there's the setup there for you at the beginning. But where biblically we have many opportunities where light is referenced, and I just wanted to get the clicker out and share some of those. No, that's not the right spot. There we go. From Psalm 18, verse 28. You, the Lord God, keep my lamp burning and turn darkness to light. John, first chapter, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And from Ephesians, you used to be like people living in the dark, but now you are people of the light because you belong to the Lord. So act like people of the light and make your light shine. Be good and honest and truthful. Also, beyond just what is shared in the Bible, Victor Hugo also wrote explicitly about the power of the light. And well, my family and I, we just came back earlier this month from a vacation where we went to Europe, and we particularly went to Paris. And I particularly wanted to go to Victor Hugo's home. One of his homes is a museum. I'm not sure my family really wanted to do that, but we went anyway. I also wanted to go to the sewer museum that they have, that he was friends with the person who designed the sewer system of Paris. But we didn't make it there, but maybe next time. I've always upheld the march forward of the human race, forward towards the light. So we will be focusing on that through our clips to this morning. And let's see, I got myself a little out of order, but that's okay. This is one of the desks that Victor Hugo wrote on. He is one of those folks who likes to write, well, he's gone now, but likes to write standing up. For those of you who are parents and you've got kids who like to write standing up, and your teachers give your kid a hard time, just say, look, Victor Hugo used to do this, so let my kid do this too. And see, I think I have one more picture here. It's all right. Okay, so let's get started with our story. So our musical movie begins where we're being introduced to our main character, Jean Valjean, 24601. And Inspector Javert. We're introduced to this character who, or this individual who's been in a lot of suffering and a pretty horrible situation over the past almost 20 years. So we'll start there.
As the prisoner approaches, the stern officer stops him.
Retrieve the flag.
The prisoner glances back at a long line of convicts treading over a large, tattered French flag beneath a few inches of muddy water. The officer halts the line and watches his slave obey the command. Seeing the flag attached to a large, broken section of the mast, the prisoner crouches. With all his might, he hefts the tree trunk-sized mast up to his knee, then heaves it onto his shoulder and stands. With his jaw clenched tight, the broad-shouldered prisoner drags it inch by inch all the way to the commanding officer. The soaking wet flag trails through filthy water along the dock floor. He drops the heavy mast by the officer's feet and glares.
Now, prisoner 24601, your time is up and your parole's begun. You know what that means.
He hands him papers.
Yes. He's some free.
Follow to the letter your itinerary. This badge of shame will show it till you die. It warns you're a dangerous man.
Stole a loaf of bread. My sister's child was close to death. We're starving.
We'll starve again unless you learn the meaning of the law.
Know the meaning of those 19 years. The slave of the law.
5 years for what you did. The rest because you tried to run. Yes, 24601.
Name is Jean Valjean.
And I'm Javert. Do not forget my name. Do not forget me. 24601.
Valjean looks into Javert's eyes. Javert eyes the convict as he steps out of the dry dock and into his freedom. Now, at night, Jean Valjean hikes a rocky hillside wearing a cloak. Hunched and using a walking stick, he moves toward a pile of stones with a wooden cross protruding from its peak. The newly freed man gazes out at the mountainous country around him.
Freedom at last. How strange it is. Never forget the years, the waste. Nor forgive them for what they've done. They are the guilty, everyone. The day begins, and now let's see what this new world will do for me.
Later, Valjean treks beside patches of snow up a slope toward early morning light. In the bright daylight, he continues through a forest. From a mountain ledge, Valjean notices a compound atop the adjacent mountain. Now he approaches a man overseeing workers.
Can I help? Day's work.
Papers?
The elderly man reviews Valjean's papers and glances up with a frown.
No work here.
Now with his parole officer.
Valjean, as a dangerous man, he will be on parole forever. Failure to report means immediate arrest. Be in Pontarlier in 30 days.
The officer hands the stamped papers back to Valjean. As he leaves, the officer turns to his subordinate.
Follow him.
By a fountain, children throw rocks at Valjean.
Hey!
The children scurry off. Later, Valjean crouches beside a fire.
Let me see your papers. Monsieur, papers.
I'll sleep in the stable, please. I'm hungry. Get out.
Valjean eyes the group of vagrants. Later, armed policemen beat him down. Injured and starving, Valjean hobbles through a cemetery in a hooded cloak. He finds shelter and lies down to rest.
Hey!
A smiling bishop startles Valjean and he hops to his feet.
Come and sir, for you are weary. And the night is cold out here. Though our lives are very humble, what we have to share.
The elderly bishop leads him into a church.
There is wine here to revive you.
Valjean scurries to the blazing fireplace.
There is bread to make you strong. There's a bed to rest till morning. Rest from pain and rest from wrong.
Valjean eyes the table set with silver. Now, as he wildly shoves food into his mouth, two older women eye him.
Bless the food we eat today. Bless our dear sister and our honored guest.
Valjean abruptly stops. He glances between the women and the bishop with a furrowed brow, then continues devouring the food. Later, he wanders into a dark room and spies the housekeeper putting away the silverware. Now, lying in bed, Valjean stares up at a worn, scratched painting of Christ on the ceiling. He peers over at the sleeping bishop. Now, Valjean opens the cabinet full of silver and quickly stuffs the items into a sack. As he hurries out through the cemetery, Valjean drops a platter. He grabs it and continues out into the snowy night. In the morning, policemen drag Valjean into the church.
Get in there! Put him down! Stay there!
An officer hits Valjean as the bishop approaches.
Monseigneur, we have your silver. We caught this man red-handed.
Get the nerve to say you gave him this.
That is right.
Valjean glances up.
But my friend, you left so early. Surely something slipped your mind.
You forgot.
I gave these also. Would you leave the best behind?
The bishop hands Valjean a set of heavy silver candlesticks.
Monsieur, listen. This man has spoken true. I commend you for your duty. Now God's blessing go with you.
The officers remove his shackles and leave.
But remember this, my brother.
Valjean's eyes meet the bishop's.
See in this some higher plan. You must use this precious silver to become an honest man. By the witness of the martyrs, by the passion and the blood, God has raised you out of darkness. I have saved your soul for God.
Valjean's gaze.
So, Jean Valjean spends almost 20 years in jail for trying to feed his family and stealing a loaf of bread. Bitter from the time, and served with papers that indicate that he's a dangerous man that he needs to show at all times. When he comes to a place, he is unable to get work. But then he's given shelter by the bishop. The bishop shines God's light on him and allows him to keep the silver which Jean Valjean has stolen. He takes that silver and starts another life. But to do that, he decides to tear up his papers. In a way, you could say he becomes undocumented. So he no longer shows the papers. He takes the silver. He's able to invest it and eventually, over a period of years, becomes a wealthy individual, has a factory, becomes a mayor of a town. Still committed to doling out and helping the poor by giving a few coins here and there. So we move forward in our story. In one of his factories, there's an incident that occurs, and one of the workers is unjustly fired. She's a single mother. She is working hard to be able to send money for her daughter, who is being kept in another location because she can't stay with her. The single mother goes through a series of hardships. She's attacked, she defends herself, and she's about to be arrested for this. And at this point, there's an intercession which takes place with Jean Valjean.
Show me some way to help you.
She flinches from Valjean's touch.
How have you come to grief in such a place as this?
Monsieur, don't mock me now, I pray. It's hard enough I've lost my bride. You let your form away. Yes, you hard to side.
She spits at him. An officer starts to intervene, but Javert stays him with the hand. Huddled defensively, Fantine sobs.
I never did no wrong.
Is it true what I've done?
My daughter's ghost is dying.
To an innocent soul.
If there's a God above.
Had I only known then.
He'd let me die instead.
In his name. My task has just begun.
Fantine swoons and he carries her.
I will take her to the hospital.
Monsieur le Maire.
Where is your child?
With an innkeeper at Montfermeil.
I will send for her immediately.
I will see it done.
Rest.
At a prison, two shackled inmates shiver in the snow. An aide brings a letter to Javert.
From Paris, monsieur.
In his neat, clean uniform, Javert opens the folded message written on police stationery. Javert reads the contents, then crumples the paper in his gloved hands. Now he visits Valjean on the empty factory floor.
Monsieur le Maire, I have a crime to declare. I have disgraced the uniform that I wear. I've done you wrong. Let no forgiveness be shown. I've been as hard on every rogue I have known. I mistook you for a convict. I have made a false report. Now I learn they caught the culprit. He's about to face the court. And of course he now denies it. You'd expect that of a con. But he couldn't run forever. No, not even Jean Valjean.
You say this man denies it all and gives no sign of understanding or repentance. You say this man is going to trial and that he's sure to be returned to serve his sentence.
He will pay, and so must I. Press charges against me, sir.
You have only done your duty. It's a minor sin at most. All of us have made misjudgments. You'll return, sir, to your post.
Valjean takes a seat at a long table. Javert blinks confoundedly, then manages a bow and leaves. Valjean watches him go with a calm gaze. Left alone, he drops his jaw and takes a gasping breath.
They think that man is me. Without a second glance. The stranger they have found. This man could be my chance. Why should I save his hide? Why should I right this wrong? When I have come so far and struggled for so long. If I speak, I am condemned. If I stay silent, I am damned. I am the master of hundreds of workers. They all look to me. Can I abandon them? How will they live if I am not free? If I speak, they are condemned. If I stay silent, I am damned.
Now, in a humble room, a crucifix stands between candles burning in the silver candlesticks.
Condemn this man to slavery.
He eyes his shackle-scarred wrist.
Pretend I do not feel his agony. This innocent who bears my face, who goes to judgment in my place, who am I? Can I conceal myself forevermore? Pretend I'm not the man I was before. That must my name until I die be no more than an alibi, must I lie? How can I ever face my fellow men? How can I ever face myself again? My soul belongs to God, I know. I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. Who am I? Who am I?
Now he marches into a packed courthouse.
And so, Your Honor, you see it's true. This man bears no more guilt than you. Who am I? 2, 4, 6, 1.
So, in front of everyone, the mayor admits that he is Jean Valjean and goes on the run. But first, he has to rescue the daughter. Fantine is the woman who eventually she dies from tuberculosis in the hospital, and he commits to finding the child and raising her as his own. He goes, he finds Cosette, has to bargain with some criminal people I won't go into, master of the house, sneaker of the, anyway. And so they go on the run. We now fast forward about 9 years, and they are living in Paris. So this is Paris in the 1800s. France through the 1800s was a very chaotic, turbulent time. They went from at the beginning of the century being the empire of the French led by Napoleon to becoming a monarchy with a singular king to being a republic, and it back and forth. And there were many revolutions and attempts at rebellion during that time. There was even a certain point where there was an election for that caused there to be a Republican government, and the party that was in charge were monarchists. So anyway, there's a lot going on in Paris at this time. There are a group of students who are hoping to mobilize the people of Paris to overthrow the government. They're very naive. But so we're coming to a stage where there's a lot there's a lot of things in the air. There's revolution in the air, I guess you could say that. And Jean Valjean is just trying to stay a step ahead of Inspector Javert, who has now also moved to Paris. And in a brief moment, Cosette meets a young man named Marius. They fall in love. It's fairly ridiculous, I'm not a romantic, and I don't believe in love at first sight. But that's kind of what happens in the story. So we are now at a point where there's a moment where there's this revolution in the air. There's a chance that Cosette and Jean Valjean may get captured. So there's preparations to leave. There's oohing and aahing of the romantics. There's these young men gathering guns, all gung-ho to overthrow the government. There's the criminal element looking to make a buck off of what is going on. And so this song kind of brings all of this together as they prepare for one more day.
Another day, another destiny. This never-ending road to Calvary.
Marius rushes to their house.
These men who seem to know my crime will surely come a second time, one day more.
I did not live until today.
Valjean notices his somber daughter.
How can I live when we are parted?
One day more.
Tomorrow you'll be worlds away. And yet with you my world has started.
Eponine binds her chest with fabric.
One more day all on my own.
Will we ever meet again?
One more day with him not caring.
I was born to be with you.
What a life I might have known.
And I swear I will be true.
But he never saw me there.
the streets, Enjolras walks amid his revolutionaries.
One more day before the storm,
I follow where she goes.
At the barricades of freedom,
shall I join my brothers there?
When our ranks begin to fall,
do I stay, do I dare?
Will you take your place with me?
The time is now.
Javert walks between his soldiers.
We will nip it in the bud. We'll be ready for these schoolboys. They will wet themselves with blood.
Watch him run amok.
Catch him as a fool.
Never know your luck when there's a free for all. Here's a little dip.
Very little touch.
Most of them are gone, so they won't miss much.
The revolutionaries load muskets. Marius arrives and grabs a red flag.
My place is here. I fight with you. One day more.
We will join these people's heroes. We will follow where they go. We will learn their little secrets. We will know the things.
Tomorrow we'll discover what our God in heaven has in store. One more dawn, one more day, one day more.
So the next day, the revolution begins in earnest. There's lots of shooting and fighting and stuff like that that happens in these type of things. And there's barricades where they're taking any of the furniture and they're blocking off the streets to keep the National Guard soldiers from being able to march along. And in the process of this, there's a lot of chaos. There'd been a funeral, and that was the moment that was to be the signal for this rebellion to take place. So in the middle of this, Inspector Javert disguises himself as one of the revolutionaries so he can follow them and know what's going on. And in the process of this, he shares some information that he says that he's discovered, and it is found out that he's a spy. And so he is captured and tied up. In the meanwhile, Jean Valjean finds out that Cosette is in love with this kid Marius and goes to see if he can keep this young man from getting himself killed in this, in the madness that's taking place. He gets to the barricade and finds out that Javert is there.
Give me the spy, Javert. Let me take care of him.
Gavroche offers up his pistol with a trusting nod.
Do what you have to do. The man belongs to you.
No.
The students shut Valjean in a large room alone with his enemy. He strides grimly to Javert, then wrenches his battered head back. The lawman shows no trace of fear or remorse under Valjean's stern gaze. Valjean hauls him to his feet. Outside, a student peers through a window in the door. Valjean takes his prisoner out of view and into the back alley. With a grim scowl, he unsheathes a gleaming dagger and advances.
We meet again.
You've hungered for this all your life. Take your revenge. How right you should kill with a knife.
Valjean cuts his bonds.
Get out of here.
don't understand.
Clear out of here.
Javert starts away, then slows to a halt. Valjean draws the pistol.
Once a thief, forever a thief. What you want, you always steal. You would trade your life for mine. Yes, Valjean, you want a deal. Shoot me now for all I care. If you let me go, beware. You'll still answer to Javert.
Valjean stepped forward with a softened gaze.
You are wrong. And always have been wrong. I'm a man. No worse than any man. And you are free. There are no conditions, no bargains or petitions. There's nothing that I blame you for. You've done your duty, nothing more.
Rubbing his throat, Javert scowls suspiciously.
If I come out of this alive, you will find me a Rue de la Mame number 5. No doubt our paths will cross again.
Javert stares at him, then starts off. Valjean aims the pistol. It strikes a wall inches from Javert's head. The lawman halts. Turning back, he finds his foe wearing a calm, gentle gaze, then flees. A distant view shows Valjean.
So, hunted shows his light to the hunter. And let's Javert go. The revolution continues, but the people do not rise and mobilize to the students, and the National Guard defeats them, and Marius is wounded in this time. So Jean Valjean takes him and flees through the Paris sewer system, which was the first major sewer system in the world. And becomes a light for Marius.
He sinks into neck-high sewage. He struggles to keep Marius's face and his own out of the muck. Now he drags Marius into a narrow drain. Later, Valjean kicks a gate open and slides into the fresh air. With a final pull, he drags the young man to the bottom of a staircase. As Valjean looks up, he spots Javert standing at the top.
It's you, Javert. I knew you wouldn't wait too long. The faithful servant at his post once more. This man's done no wrong. He needs a doctor's care.
I warned you I would not give in. I won't be swayed.
Another hour yet. Then I'm yours. All our debts are paid.
The man of mercy comes again and talks of justice.
Come, time is running short. Look down, Javert. He's standing in his grave.
Javert's face tenses as Valjean puts Marius over his shoulder and climbs onto the staircase. Covered in sewage, he walks up past Javert's aimed pistol.
One more step and you die.
Valjean freezes and looks back at the inspector. The white in his eyes shines amid the brown muck caked on his face. Javert's hand trembles as he aims his pistol at Valjean. They share a long stare, and Valjean turns away. As the inspector watches him walk off, his mouth drops open and his gaze lowers to the pistol. He stares at the weapon, then tosses it down into the pool of sewage. The gloomy night sky lingers above as he walks up a brick staircase.
So this is the last scene between Javert and Jean Valjean. Javert is broken, being this self-righteous person, realizing what he has thought about Jean Valjean all of these years could not be possibly right, and he is destroyed by this. Jean Valjean is able to get Marius to safety. Marius is unconscious the whole time. He doesn't know that who has saved him. Story moves on, along a little bit. Marius gets his health back, proposes to Cosette, and they get married. In the midst of all of this, Jean Valjean creeps away, afraid that if someone else still could discover who he is, and that that may harm the life of Cosette and Marius. And he goes to a convent and lives. Eventually, Marius is able to discover, and Marius, you know, I'm just going, Marius discovers that Jean Valjean is at this convent, and then he and Cosette come. At this point, Jean Valjean is quite ill. He's dying, and we come to the last moments of our story.
Monsieur, I bless your name.
I am ready, Fantine.
Monsieur, lay down your burden.
At the end of my days.
You raised my child in love.
She's the best of my life.
And you will be with God. Oh.
Fantine kisses his forehead. Outside, Cosette rushes through a courtyard and into the room.
Papa, Papa, I do not understand. Are you all right? Why did you go away?
Oh, Cosette, my child, am I forgiven now? Thank God, I've lived to see this day. It's you who must forgive a thoughtless fool. It's you who must forgive a thankless man. It's thanks to you that I am living. And again, I lay down my life at your feet. Cosette, your father is a saint. When they wounded me, he took me from the barricade, carried like a babe, and brought me home to you.
Cosette suppresses a sad smile as her sickly father gently places a hand on Marius's face. Valjean stares into his eyes, and Cosette kisses his other hand.
Now you are here.
He shifts his gaze to Cosette.
Again beside me.
Valjean holds all of their hands together.
Now I can die in peace. Now my life is blessed.
You will live, Papa, you're going to live. It's too soon to say goodbye.
Yes, Cosette, forbid me now to die. I'll obey.
Valjean winces.
I will try on this page. I write my last confession.
He hands Cosette a letter.
Read it well. When I at last am sleeping, it's the story of one who turned from hating, a man who only learned to love when you were in his keeping.
Fantine appears.
Come with me, the chains will never bind you.
Oh, I am ready, Fantine.
Oh, your grief lost behind you. Lord in heaven, look down on him in mercy.
Forgive me all my trespasses and take me to your glory.
His head slumps forward. Marius holds Cosette.
Take my hand.
Valjean's spirit joins the bishop.
And remember the truth that once was spoken. To love another person is to see the face of God.
Smiling, Fantine's spirit watches Valjean go, then gazes lovingly at her daughter. Now, at the Bastille, Éponine, Gavroche, Enjolras, and all the fallen revolutionaries stand atop a massive barricade. Fantine and Valjean join them.
The chain will be broken and all men will have their reward. We'll join the crusade, we'll be strong and stand with me. Somewhere beyond the barricade is there a world you long to see. Do you hear the people sing? Say, do you hear the distant drums?
Love another person to see the face of God. Something to ponder, as well as let there be light. Let yourself be light. Look for the opportunities to be light for others. There's always darkness in the world, but there's always light as well. And the light always overcomes the dark. That said, I knew this wasn't going to work the way I wanted. There we go. That said, our Lord Jesus Christ gave us the gift of communion, the opportunity to share a meal with those around us. And this is what we shall be doing now. So when you're ready, please come and take a piece of gluten-free cracker and some juice. You can eat and drink at the tables at the front or at the middle, or you can take it back to your seat, whenever feels comfortable to you. There are other ways to respond at this time. You can light a candle as a form of prayer and the symbol of light at the back of the auditorium, or visit one of the other stations around the room. All the information about these are in the front page of the bulletin that you received when you came in this morning. So at this time, you may join us in communion.